Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Service in our congregation. I was not the 12th Hour. I'm in Elgin, Texas. Today is November the 18th, 2023, or it is the 6th day of Shishlu, 2027. We refer to our first service on this Sabbath day to the song entitled, So Lead Me to Calvary. I lead me to Calvary. King of my life, I call thee now. I shall the glory be. Lest I forget my far from bride, lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget this sanity, lest I forget my agony, lest I forget how Lord saved me. Lead me to Calvary. Show me the tomb where thou wast laid. Tender in mind and well, angels and rose of light and rain, God is beyond us well. Lest I forget this sanity, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget my love for me. Lead me to Calvary. Set me like Mary to the tomb. Come with the gift to thee. Show to me now that empty tomb. Lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget this sanity, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget my love for me. Lead me to Calvary. May I be willing, Yahshua, to bear daily my cross for thee. Even the cup of grief to share, thou hast won all for me. Lest I forget this sanity, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget how love taught me. Lead me to Calvary.
Our sermon today is taken from One Timely Greetings, Volume 1, Number 35 of E.T. Hardoff. It's entitled, A Nation See Edom Perish, A Desert Blossom, and A Highway Unto Zion. Now that the text of address of E.T. Hardoff back in April 5th, 1947, there over Waco, Texas, at the old Mount Carmel headside. And we're going to now first refer to a prayer thought taken from Deuteronomy chapter 4. And it says, Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments. Now when he says Israel, he's talking to the 12 tribes, not just 10. He said, which I teach you for to do them, that you may have and go in and possess the land which the Yahweh of your fathers giveth you. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2 now. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Yahweh, your Yahweh, which I command you. For your eyes have seen what the Yahweh did because of Baal Peor, for all the men that followed Baal Peor, the Yahweh hath destroyed them from among you. Nothing has changed today. But ye that did cleave unto the Yahweh are alive, every one of you this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Yahweh, Yahweh hath commanded me, that you should be so in the land whither you go into for the possessing of that of the promised land. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nation, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. What nation is there so great who hath Yahweh so nigh unto them as the Yahweh is in the all things that we call upon him for? Now here it is talking about, for what nation is there so great? Okay. And what, verse 8, and what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law, which I set before you this day? Now over there in Joel, the book of Joel, he's talking about, Joel was a righteous preacher. He was a preacher of righteousness. Well, we're preachers of righteousness. And when we preach and teach the complete whole law, we are teaching a righteous law. This is how we become righteous, by keeping all the statutes and judgments of that law. Only take heed unto thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them unto thy sons and thy son's son, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Yahweh, your Yahweh, in Horeb, when the Yahweh said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth. So every day we're supposed to rise with a new purpose, and that is to fear the Yahweh with all our heart and mind and soul today, just like we did yesterday, and that they may teach their children. And you came near, and you stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with the fire unto the midst of heaven, with the darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. And the Yahweh spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the voice of the word, but saw no similitude, only you heard a voice. And he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even the Ten Commandments. And he wrote them upon two tables of the stone. And the Yahweh commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that you might do them in the land whether you go over to possess it. Take ye therefore good heed unto yourself, for you saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Yahweh spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire. lest you corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of the male or female, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flieth in the air, the likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the earth. And lest thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the hosts of heaven, shouldest be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Yahweh, thy Yahweh, hath divided unto the all nations under the whole heaven, but the Yahweh hath taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt, to be unto him a people of inheritance, as you are this day. Furthermore, the Yahweh was angry with me for your sakes, and swore that I should not go over this Jordan, and that I should not go in unto that good land which Yahweh, thy Yahweh, giveth thee for an inheritance. But I must die in this land. And where was that at? In the wilderness. Okay. This is Moses talking. I must not go over Jordan, but ye shall go over and possess that good land. Take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Yahweh, your Yahweh, which he made with you, and make you a graven image for the likeness of anything. When the Yahweh thy Yahweh has forbidden thee, for the Yahweh thy Yahweh is a consuming fire, even a jealous Yahweh. Okay. When thou shalt beget children and children's children, and you shall have remained long in the land, and shall corrupt yourself and make a graven image or the likeness of anything, and shall do evil on the side of the Yahweh, thy Yahweh, for the provoking him unto anger. For I call heaven and the earth for the witnessing against you this day, that you shall soon utterly perish from off the land whereunto you go over Jordan for the possession of it. For ye shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall utterly be destroyed. And the Yahweh shall scatter you among the nations, and you shall be left few in the number among the heathen, whither the Yahweh shall lead you. And there you shall serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see, nor hear, nor eat, nor smell. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Yahweh thy Yahweh, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul, when thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days. If thou turn unto the Yahweh, thy Yahweh, and shall be obedient unto his voice. Okay. For the Yahweh, thy Yahweh, is a merciful Yahweh. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them. For ask now of the days that are past, which were before thee, since the day that Yahweh created man upon the earth, and ask from the one side of heaven unto the other, whether there hath been any such thing as this great thing is, or hath been heard like it. Did ever people hear the voice of Yahweh speaking out of the midst of the fire, as thou hast heard and lived? Or hath Yahweh essayed to go and take him a nation from the midst of another nation, okay, by the temptation, by the signs, and by the wonders? and by the war, and by a mighty hand, and by a stretched out arm. And so he went down into Egypt, and he brought the nation of Israel out of the nation of Egypt. And by the great terrors, according to all that the Yahweh, your Yahweh, did for you in Egypt before your eyes. Unto thee it was showed that thou mightest know that the Yahweh, he is the Yahweh. There is none else beside him. So here you have it right here. There's only one Father, one Yahweh. Out of the heaven he made thee to hear his voice, that he might instruct thee, and upon earth he showed thee his great fire, and thou heardest his words out of the midst of the fire. And because he loved thy fathers, therefore he chose their seed after them. And we are indeed one of that seed today, the house of David, tribe of Judah, lawgiver. And brought thee out in his sight with his mighty power out of Egypt, to drive out nations from before thee, greater and mightier than thou art, to bring thee in and to give thee their land for an inheritance, as it is this day. We're looking at the same thing right now in front of us. Repeat of what happened back then. Know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Yahweh, he is the Yahweh in heaven, above and upon the earth beneath. There is none else. Thou shalt keep therefore his statutes and his commandments. Okay, so he has statutes and he has commandments, which I command thee this day, that it may go well with thee, and with thy children after thee, and that thou mayest prolong thy days upon the earth, which Yahweh giveth thee forever. Then Moses severed three cities on this side of Jordan toward the sun rising, that the slayer might flee thither, which should kill his neighbor unawares, and hated him not in times past, and that fleeing unto one of these cities he might live, namely Bezer in the wilderness, in the plain country of the Reubenites, and Ramoth and Gilead of the Gadites. Okay. And Golan in Bashan of the Manassites. And this is the law which Moses set before the children of Israel. These are the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which Moses spake unto the children of Israel after they came forth out of Egypt, on this side Jordan, in the valley over against Beth Peor, and the land of Sihon, king of the Amorites, who dwelt at Heshbon, whom Moses and the children of Israel smote after they were come forth out of Egypt. And they possessed his land, and the land of Og, the king of Bashan, two kings of the Amorites, which were on this side of Jordan toward the sun rising. Okay. From Aoyor, which is by the bank of the river Arnon, even unto Mount Sion, which is in Hermon, and all the plain on this side of Jordan eastward, even unto the sea of the plain, under the springs of Pisgah. This is the end of our prayer thought. That was a very long prayer thought. It had around 49 verses. We're going to now pick up our main themes in the sermon. We, Edom. Nations see Edom perish. Edom today will be same thing as Mount Bashan, which is the first feeding pastor for the Seventh-day Adventist Church. That had its time period from 1850 to 1890, with Ellen G. White as the leader of that 40-year period. First anatypical 40-year period of Moses' life in our day. Okay, so it says, and the desert blossoms and a highway unto Zion. Fitzhugh, April the 5th, 1947. Our study for this afternoon is found in Isaiah 34 and 35. Last week, as you recall, we studied the 33rd chapter for the Yahweh's burden concerning the church as she approaches the time of the harvest. It says, in the time that the wheat is put into the barn and the tares burn, Matthew 13:30. For the time that the good fish are put into the vessels and the bad fish cast out, Matthew 13:47-49. As are those who have not the wedding garment on, Matthew 21:13. Continuing now into the 34th chapter, we there see that Yahweh invites the nations of the world to draw near and to hear his mighty work of the refining. So we have Isaiah 34:1-3. Come near, ye nations, to hear and hearken, you people, lest the earth hear and all that is therein, for the world and all the things that come forth out of it, for the indignation of the Yahweh is upon all the nations, and his fury upon all their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them. He hath delivered them unto the slaughter. The slain also shall be cast out, and their stink shall come up out of their carcasses, and the mountains shall be melted with their blood. Why does Yahweh invite the nations of all the earth to draw near and to hear, that they might consider his indignation against the wicked in his church and now? Oh, in his church. So we must have a situation in the house of Israel today, and the Seventh-day Adventist Church, which is called the spiritual Israel of today, we have a prophecy that says there's wheat and tares commingled together in that church. So what to expect when his judgments spread out among all the nations? They might know what to expect when his refining work begins among them, that they might therefore beforehand count the cost. For that refining work is going on right now. Yahweh, with his people, with all the nations right now. His judgment, he declares, is already pronounced upon the armies of the world. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of Yahweh. And if it first began at us, that would be talking about the Beatty Holliper addressing the Adventist Church. And as he is a part of the Adventist Church himself, so Beatty Holliper is including him, Shepherd Riley, on it. He said, if the judgment began at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the plan of the salvation through the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua, of Hebrews 10:19-20, 1 Peter 4:17, Isaiah 34:4. In other words, I quoted that long quote in the place of the word gospel, Isaiah 34:4. And all the host of the heavens shall be dissolved, and the heaven shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their hosts shall fall down, as the leaf falleth off from the vine, and as a fallen fig tree from the fig tree. or as a fallen fig from the fig tree. Well, the verse number 3 points out that the solemn events of this chapter takes place in a day of the gigantic worldwide armament program, and that's exactly what we got going on right today. Worldwide armament program is going right now. Verse 4, being parallel with the Revelation 6:14, it reveals that they take place in the period of the sixth seal and the days of the seating of the 144,000 and the gathering of the innumerable multitude out of all nations. For the seal that we are now living in, the sixth seal, may overlap the seventh. And indeed it has overlapped the seventh, because the sixth seal came to its end in 2002 at Kermit, Texas, at the Passover with Brother Johnson at Gilead Center. That was the third feeding pasture to Mount Carmel. It was the second feeding pasture of Beatty Hollow. And that, and Beatty Hollow is right. That sixth seal will overlap the seventh seal because we're still under the judgment of the sixth seal. And because the fact that the 144,000 yet has not yet appeared, and when the 144,000 appears on the Mount Zion with the Lamb, you will know then that the seventh seal has opened and we're in the seventh seal. When you see the first harvest of the judgment of the living, then you'll know that we have passed on into the seventh seal. Alright, it says, Isaiah 34:5-11, for my sword shall be bathed in heaven, behold, it shall come down upon Adamia and upon the people of my curse unto judgment. The sword of the Yahweh is filled with the blood. It is made fat with the fatness, and with the blood of the lambs and goats, with the fat of the kidneys of the rams. For the Yahweh hath a sacrifice in Bozrah, and a great slaughter in the land of Adamea. The land of Adamea is the Seventh-day Adventist land. Okay. And the unicorns shall come down, and that slaughter is Ezekiel 9. The five men with slaughtering weapons that are commanded to go through the city, the Adventist church, and slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children, but come not near any man upon whom have the mark, and began at my sanctuary, and that began at the Passover of 2002 at Kermit, Texas, with Verlis W. Johnson. And the unicorns shall come down with them, and the bullocks with the bulls, and their land shall be soaked with the blood, and their dust made fat with the fatness, for it is the day of the Yahshua, the Son's vengeance, and the year of the recompenses for the controversy of Mount Zion at the 12th hour at the house of David, tribe of Judah, the lawgiver, because Yahshua, he is the one that has come and taken his position upon the throne of David in this everlasting kingdom of heaven, that Yahweh sent his Son here to earth, fulfilling the prophecy of Daniel 2:44-45, where it says, in the days of these kings shall the Yahweh, let's call it the Son, shall the Yahshua of the heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be delivered or never be destroyed. And said it will not be left to other people, but it will stand forever. Now this is the kingdom that we possess today, because Yahshua is in possession of it. He's here in this, in the presence of the Holy Spirit right now. But there's a day coming he's going to show up in person. And it says, and the streams thereof shall be turned into pitch, and the dust thereof into the brimstone, and the land thereof shall become the burning pitch. It shall not be quenched night nor day, for the smoke thereof shall go up forever, from the generation to generation, it shall lie waste. None shall pass through it forever and ever, but the cormorant and the bittern shall possess it. The owl also and the raven shall dwell in it, and it shall stretch out upon, and he shall stretch out upon it the line of the confusion and the stones of the emptiness. For the immediate curse we see rests upon Idumea, which is this today translates into the Adventist Church. Anatypically speaking, it is the land of the anatypical Esauites. There you have it. King of Edom. Edom is another word used for the Adventist Church today. Those who, by their rights, should have kept the office which the anatypical Jacobites take away from them. And so Brother Johnson was the last to hold the position of the kingdom of Edom. And he was the first spiritually born twin today unto the church. And so therefore he had the position of Esau. There at Gilead Center in Kermit, Texas. I was the one that was called second to work with him in 1970. And I had the antitypical position of Jacob that inherits the birthright from antitypical Esau, Brother Johnson. And that's exactly what's happened. I have the creation calendar that Brother Johnson published. I have the creation calendar to prove it. And that I inherited it because we are to teach the statutes and judgments and set up Yahweh's government with it for the immediate curse. We see rest upon Idumea, anatypically speaking, it is the land of the anatypical Esauites, those who by their rights should have kept the office of the birthright, I might add, have been the progenitors of the righteous line clear up to the gathering of the 144,000, which the anatypical Jacobites take away from them. For they underestimate its value, that they, like Esau of old, sell their rights for a dish of red pottage, as it were. For the further study on this subject, I see the Shepherd's Rod, Volume 1, page 52-111. And I will say, at Gilead Center, the number one problem that we all had as members of Gilead Center with Brother Johnson at the helm was the appetite. We never did learn under Brother Johnson how to subdue the appetite, me included, and I'm suffering today as a result of that. Okay, Isaiah 34:12. They shall call the nobles thereof unto the kingdom, but none shall be there, and all their princes shall be nothing. So who's the princes today? All the ministers of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. They're nothing. They're nothing. They don't have one ray of truth to give to their members or the world. So they don't have no reason for existing. Okay, evidently, after the destruction falls upon Idumea, that would be Ezekiel 9, none of her so-called nobles, ministers, shall be found there to participate in the Exodus, Isaiah 11:11, the antitypical Exodus movement. It's called the anatypical kingdom. Let's do that again. Evidently, after the destruction falls upon Idumea, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, none of her so-called nobles, her ministers, shall be found there to participate in the Exodus for the anatypical kingdom. With the anatypical kingdom of the church purified. Isaiah 11:11, and her princes shall be as nothing. Then it must be that those who escape and enter into the kingdom are mostly from among the common people, those from the streets and the lanes, Luke 14:16-21. And the last solemn work, few great men will be engaged. They are self-sufficient, independent of Yahweh, and he cannot use them. testimonies for the church by the baptism. Only those who have withstood temptation and the strength of the Mighty One will be permitted to act as a part and act of a part in the proclaiming of the third angel's message when it shall have swelled unto the loud cry of review and herald, November 18, 1908. Isaiah 34:13-15. And thorns shall come up in her palaces, nettles and brambles, and the fortresses thereof, and it shall be an habitation of dragons and a court for owls. Now we're talking about the Adventist Church. This is what's going to be left of her buildings whenever it's all over with. When Yahweh gets through judging, bringing 144,000 out, then this is what you're going to be left in the Adventist Church. Thorns are going to come up in her palaces, nettles and brambles in the fortresses thereof, and there shall be an habitation of dragons and a court for owls. The wild beasts of the desert shall also meet with the wild beasts of the island, and the satyr shall cry unto his fellow. The screech owl also shall rest there and find her for herself a place of rest. There shall the great owl make her nest, and lay and hatch, and gather under her shadow. There shall the vultures also be gathered, every one with her mate. When Brother Johnson was through at Gilead Center in Kermit, Texas, he owned his own house. He owned his own, he had a big building connected to all of his property that he used for a broom shop and to store all kinds of stuff in. He built it. And he had a print shop on it. And he owned another little house that he had his mother-in-law live in. And then he had another duplex, a type of a house there for a guest to come and live in. And so he had a nice place up there on 450 North Oak in Kermit, Texas. But you know, whenever his time was up there, Yahweh took him out of there. He had to go out there in a van. Somebody had to drive him out. I went back to the place 2 years later with a video camera. And his house. The city hadn't taken possession of it. His son didn't take possession of it. His wife's car was still sitting in the driveway and had been sitting there 2 years. And I went back and filmed all that. And when screens were coming off the windows and door was windows was open and broken, and trees had died in the front yard, and it was all grown up with weeds and brambles. And doors were wide open, and on his own home where he lived, he had a nice house. His door was open, screens were off. Birds and stuff was flying through their buildings, their houses, coming in there and roosting. Well, this right here describes what I just read. That was what was left of his property. The birds and so forth, they found a roosting place in all that property. Let us continue on. Well, I guess I was recording all of that. Is it armament then that the nations of the day need for the peace and security? Is the atomic war to be their fear? What they need to hear, or the fear is the sword of the Yahweh, for his sword shall be bathed in heaven. This is actually the sword of Yahshua, the Son, because his sword is bathed in heaven. And for his sword shall be bathed, it shall come down upon Adamia, upon the Adventist Church, and upon the people of his curse, and that's Ezekiel 9. They need not fear anything if they fear the Yahshua. Let them make him their fear, their dread, and their protection, Isaiah 8:13. So he commands, Isaiah 34:16, seek you out of the book of the Yahweh and read. No one of these shall fail. None shall want her mate, for my mouth it hath commanded, and his spirit it hath gathered them. So it says, for the Yahweh's counsels us to search the Bible and to implicitly believe that not one of his prophecies shall fail. No, not one shall fail to follow another in its turn. And why should we have the confidence, this confidence? Because Yahweh himself has commanded, and because his spirit, not the wisdom or efforts of men, has gathered into a single volume for the writings of the prophets of the old, the book of the Yeshua, the non-sectarian Bible as we know it today, Isaiah 34:17. And he has cast the lot for them, and his hand has divided it unto them by the line. They shall possess it forever. From the generation to generation shall they dwell therein. Now, isn't this amazing? That here in the last days, when Yahweh brings his people back into the land of Israel, they're going to dwell there from generation to generation. And yet we're told we're in the end time. The end of the world is not going to last a few more years. We're going to be surprised to find out something here. That the kingdom of heaven has come down, and we're, the saints are translated into the kingdom of his dear son. That's in, what is that book? Colossians. First Colossians chapter 1 verse 12 14. It says that the Yahweh's saints, his children, are translated into the kingdom of his dear son once they become converted. They automatically then Yahshua comes and he takes and picks them up here and he translates over into the kingdom. Where is this kingdom? Now it's not the 12th hour right now. So when this becomes a holding place for Yahweh's saints that are converted, then he takes them out of all nations and he translates them right here into this kingdom. And then when this kingdom comes time for it to go to Israel, he just translates the whole thing over to Israel. It goes from generation to generation. We live forever. We have eternal life once we are sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. Once we are sealed with that, then we have eternal life from then on. You can go on generation to generation right here in this world. Be in the kingdom of heaven that's already come down from heaven. Heaven is here. We got a lot to learn, folks, about this end time. Yahweh is putting it into my heart to explain it that way. Regardless whether we take this verse to say that the wild beast shall possess it forever, or whether we take it to say that those who seek out of the book of the Yahweh shall possess it forever, our greatest concern must be to personally acquaint ourselves with the Yahshua, just as it, with the Son, because he's here in person. We got to personally come and accept him again and personally acquaint ourselves with him and his truth if we would gain his favor and find a shelter in this time of the trouble. And we are in this time of the trouble right now. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness. Now, you see this right here? It didn't say the king of Israel, which is Yahshua. It says a king. A is an indefinite article. It means somebody, some human being, that's going to be have the position of a king, which would be antitypical David. It says, behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. Okay, who is the princes? The 144,000. They're the prophets, priests, and kings that sits upon 144,000 thrones, judging first their brethren, and then which would be the Gentile nations, as their brethren. Then they go and get them and gather them from all nations and bring them to this holy mountain. Isaiah 66:16-20. Behold, a king, and typical David, shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment, and a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind. It didn't say that Yahshua was going to be this antitypical king, that he was going to be the hiding place in these last days. It says a man. Well, I know Yahshua is a man, but still, it's talking about this a king and a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest as the rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Isaiah 32:1-2. And this is the message that I'm going to teach just as soon as I can get it organized and get this thing on podcast or whatever to go on television around the world. Just as soon as I can get this thing arranged, I'm going to teach this message right here. And that the nations are going to come seeking to know where this place is at, and they're going to know where it's at. It's coming from Texas. We shall go on into the 35th chapter of Isaiah, which is but a continuation of the 34th. Now it says, for the wilderness, and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. What a difference when the Yahweh manifests His power and purifies His church. Then the lands of the Gentiles, parentheses, the wilderness. Okay, and where are we at today in prophecy in the United States? It's called the wilderness of the people. That's in Revelation 17. About that scarlet colored beast is seen in the wilderness of the people. And that's here in the United States. And the land of the heathen as a solitary place. So we're in the wilderness, Gentiles, one of the people, and they are also classified as heathen. But the thing is, the Adventist Church that is here in the United States having their headquarters, they're classified as heathen too. Whenever you take the 144,000 out of them, then it says the terrorists, which are the heathen. They are the ones that are left in the Adventist Church. They're the Babylonians. They're the terrorists that infiltrate the Adventist Church. They're the heathen. They shall both be glad to see the Yahweh's holy people. Finally, as the Yahweh's truth for this time penetrates throughout the land where there are no Christians at all. I'm gonna call this a new word. For there is no antitypical apostolic believers of the Nazarene Creed at all. The desert places shall blossom as the rose, so to speak, and thus yield an abundant harvest of the soul. This prophecy is going to start its fulfillment right here in Texas. And this is where I came from. The last feeding pastor that I was in, Gilead Center, Kermit, Texas, we was out there in the desert. We were out there in the wilderness, in the far reaches of West Texas, where they had nothing but the wild animals, and they had the oil fields, and they had the cattle ranches, and they had the wide open spaces. And it's called the Land of Endless Skies. And I wrote a song to that. There's a land of endless skies where someday my soul shall rise and forever be at rest from all care. I will know my heart's desire kindled from this little fire that's been burning in my heart for all of these years. It's Isaiah 35:2-4. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with the song and the singing. For the glory of the Lebanon shall be given unto it, for the ecstasy of Carmel and Sharon they shall see the glory of the this is the sun now. They shall see the glory of the Yahshua, the sun, and the excellency of our Heavenly Father, Yahweh. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say unto them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your Yahweh, your Yahshua, the sun, will come with a vengeance. He's the one that's going to be sent from heaven there in Daniel 2:44-45. He's the one that Yahweh the Father sends here to this earth with the everlasting kingdom of heaven that sit up on the throne of David and the house of antitypical David, and the tribe of Judah, the lawgiver, and the prophecy there is in Genesis 49:10, it says, "For a scepter shall not depart from Judah," that's the tribe of the lawgiver in the last day, "for a scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver," and Yahshua is the lawgiver according to Revelation 5 and another place in the Bible. He's a lawgiver. "And a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come," and Yahshua, another name for Yahshua, the son, is Shiloh, "and unto him shall the gathering of the people be." So at Isaiah 49:10, that Jacob uttered before he died, is packed full of prophecy. And it goes along with that Numbers where it talks about Balaam pronouncing that parable against Balak, the king of Moab that wanted to curse Israel. Balaam could do nothing but bless Israel. And he said in the last day there's going to be a star arise out of Jacob. And okay, but this is where we're at today. He says, "For this great commission and opportunity, for the proclaimer of Yahweh's soon coming of vengeance are ours. We must not fail to take advantage of these privileges. With the mighty message for this time, we must strengthen the weak. We must make firm the knees that are given out, those who are unable to stand up, and for the holding of their own must be strengthened. We must reassure the fearful that Yahweh is to come with a vengeance against the unbelieving and with the recompense for the faithful." Isaiah 35:5-6. "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams for the truth, or of the truth, in the desert. When these things take place, then it will be just as natural for the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the lame to leap, and the dumb to sing. Yes, as natural as blossoms are followed with the fruit. Yahweh's truth for this time is for the spreading everywhere and for the reaping of a great harvest of the souls." He says, "I saw jets of light shining from the cities and villages and from the high places and the low places of the earth. For Yahweh's word was obeyed, and as a result there were memorials for him in every city and village. His truth was proclaimed throughout the world." Testimony of Volume 9, page 28. "If but one soul saved from every city and village, there would be the several times 144,000 a living soul." Isaiah 35:7. "And the parched ground, the places which are now entirely devoid of the truth, shall become a pool, and a thirsty land, the land that thirsts for Yahweh's truth." But we're in that land. We're in another part of the vineyard. Yahweh sent us down here nearly 5 years ago, and that this place, this Adventist community down here, is completely devoid of the truth. They don't have one truth in their midst, and of any of their Adventist congregations. They've all adopted that false doctrine of the Catholic's false doctrine of the Trinity, doctrine of the three in one person of the Godhead. They completely eliminated the plan of salvation through the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua. They completely denied and eliminated 2,300 years prophecy starting 1844. And the judgment of the dead, and the antitypical day of the atonement, and the cleansing of the sanctuary, that all came in 1844. All in one day. was announced. And these Jesuits have infiltrated the Adventist Church. They have completely thrown out all of the doctrine. Well, that's the fourth movement of the, for Israel coming out of Egypt. The Adventist Church is the fourth movement. As in Matthew 20, verse 5, they were the ninth, called it the ninth hour. They were the fourth movement in the earth. And these Jesuits, we're in the fifth movement right now. So those Jesuits are completely commanding the Adventist Church to not even acknowledge the fourth movement from 1844 clear up to today. They don't even exist. Okay, Isaiah 35:7. And the parched ground, the places which are now utterly devoid of the trees shall become a pool, and a thirsty land, the land that thirsts for Yahweh's truth, spring as a water, and the habitation of the dragon, which each lay shall be grass with the reeds and the rushes. There shall be fruitage, you see, even where the dragons lie, Isaiah 35:8, and a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called a way of the holiness. This is exactly what we're teaching. The only way of the holiness is restoring all the statutes and judgments with the creation calendar and establishing the ordained system of the true worship, including the establishing of the daily worship every day, 7 days a week. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those the wayfaring men, though fowls or fools shall not err therein. None shall be left in the wilderness. So Texas has a designated place here in Texas called the Wilderness of the People. And I used to live in that wilderness. That's where I spent 33 and a half years with Gilead Center, Kermit, Texas, Brother Johnson, and the Wilderness of the People here in Texas. Now, that's not what the faithful be, illiterate or otherwise, they shall not err therein. Indeed, all the wheat, which is your remnant, which would be, represents the grain for the 144,000, shall be gathered and put into the barn. This is the everlasting kingdom of heaven here on earth, the house of David, the tribe of Judah. The kingdom, it says right here, put into the barn, comma, the kingdom. See track number 3, the judgment and the harvest, Isaiah 35:9. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. Once the hypocrites are taken out, that's your terrorists taken out of the Adventist Church, they shall not be allowed to return and to endanger the peace of Yahweh's people. Only the redeemed shall walk on the highway of the holiness. And I wrote a song one time called Clear the King's Highway, Chain the Devil, Make Him Pay, for a light has come on from above. And where does the highway lead? The next verse gives the answer. I wrote a song with that. It leads it to the high and cast up way. Isaiah 35:10. And the ransom of the Yahshua, the ransom of the Yahshua by his blood, that's how he ransoms his people, shall return and come unto Mount Zion at the 12th hour with the songs and everlasting joy upon their heads, for they shall obtain joy and gladness and sorrow and silence shall flee away. Yes, the highway leads to the Mount Zion at the 12th hour in the great nation of Texas. With the songs and everlasting joy shall the redeemed enter therein, nevermore to sorrow or to sigh. For he cometh unto to judge the earth, he shall judge the world with the righteousness and the people with his truth. That's present truth. Psalm 96:13. Brother, sister, the sacrifices we may be called to make are as nothing in the comparison unto the privilege of the heading for the Mount Zion at the 12th hour by the highway of holiness. And this is the only highway we know of today is how to establish righteousness by faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant. This is your highway of holiness. Ponder upon this, then that, that nothing deter you from complying with the Yahweh's truth for this time and the day in which the nation to see Edom, the Adventist Church, perish all over the world, and the desert blossom. Okay, Brother Johnson, he was preaching a sermon one day, and he said, when Edom blooms again. And I said, oh my goodness, I got a title for a new song. And so I wrote that song just as soon as I left church that day. When Edom blooms again, I will be happy, for I know he's erased all my sins. And he'll take me to that land that he has promised, and I know that it will be when Edom blooms again. And now, act now while the highway of design is in the preparation. We all went under the tree and sat down to look at the glory of the place when Brother Fitch and Stockman, who had preached the gospel of the kingdom, that's the righteousness by faith in the blood of Yahshua, and whom Yahweh had laid in the grave to save them, came up unto us and asked us what we had passed through while they were sleeping. We tried to call up our greatest trials, but they looked so small compared with the far more exceeding and eternal weight of the glory that surrounded us that we could not speak them out, and we all cried out, Hallelujah! Heaven is cheap enough. And we touched our glorious hearts and made heaven arches ring. Early writing, page 17. This brings the end of our study. This hour, contact us at the 11th hour call, and that's number 11. Click on our audio archives to hear this message and more. We're going to close now with this. Don't let that ship sail by, buddy. Elijah Davis.
Don't let that ship sail by while standing on the shore. And the captain of that mighty ship is a standing by the door to welcome all to come aboard. There's a room for many more. As the ship sets sail for the harbor, lights up that far off distant shore. Don't let that ship sail by, don't let that ship sail by, for she has a pain of for delivering. For the saints of all ages are riding her on high. So don't get caught standing there when that ship goes sailing by. Oh, a framed up lighted harbor, silver ships in the sky. Sunday sailing as that sweet by and by. Yes, agreeing about those mansions Yah has gone to prepare. And I dream this Sunday of evening, the weapons in the air. Don't let that ship sail by, don't let that ship sail by, for she has a payload to the giver in the sky. For the saints of all ages are riding her on high. So don't get caught standing there when that ship goes sailing by. Don't let that ship sail by while standing on the shore. For up the sky the captain of that mighty ship is standing by the door for a welcome all to come aboard destination.